Hey there, welcome back. I'm Bob, and you're watching the Designated Pundits. Today, we are previewing the 2024 Major League Soccer season for the Vancouver Whitecaps. Joined today by MLS commentator Gideon Hill. How you doing, buddy?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it. It's great to chat, and thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
Awesome, man. You know, Vancouver Whitecaps had a little bit of an up and down year last year, but someone we definitely really want to talk about when we talk about teams moving up in the Western Conference. You guys had a really good year and could have finished really with the second seed with an extra win there. So definitely good times ahead for Vancouver. Let's talk about what happened last year. You guys were 12-12-0. 12-12-10 in 2023, ended up sixth in the Western Conference. 55 goals scored, second in the West, 48 goals allowed for a plus 7 goal difference. Lost 5-2 and 1-0 in the final two legs of the playoffs, being eliminated by LAFC. But, finished on a positive note, you won the Canadian Championship over CF Montreal. Gideon, how did it feel as an insider in 2020?
Yeah, it was great. I think it was a roller coaster of emotions, as most could say with that team. You have some really good results, and you know, the next game or the next weekend you don't. And as tough as the schedule is, you have to be consistent, especially, you know, into the summer months, into August, September, which are the dog days. I think everybody knows that that's when, you know, you really have to pick up your socks and deal with the likes of the international breaks, you know, player injuries, illness. It happens. So they did well to ride the wave and finish in a very good position. Obviously, matching up with LAFC at the end of the year was going to be a tall task in and of itself. But I think overall, is the year another improvement year, another year they made the playoffs, which was the goal from the outset. So it was great to be, you know, around and talking a lot of the football last year with the Whitecaps.
Absolutely. So we're going to pull up a list of contributors from last season and kind of just discuss who did the scoring. You had Brian White, 16 goals, 4 assists. Ryan Gold, 11 goals, 13 assists. Simone Becher with 4 goals, 1 assist. Pedro Vite, 4 goals. And Julian Gressel with 3 goals and 5 assists. Talk to us about where the goals were scored last season.
Yeah, I mean, you see it there, a lot of it between Brian White and Ryan Gold. I don't know the exact number. It was over 15 goals between the two, like where they contributed, assisted on each other. So obviously there's a nice link-up play there. Gold kind of started as an attack midfielder, and then he moved to kind of a two-striker role, which we'll see shortly in the formation. So I think them utilizing the strengths of those two players was awesome. And you have guys like Pedro Vite, who really came into a star last year playing with the Ecuadorian national team. You know, just guys that you didn't think would step up at the beginning of the year. Even Simon Becher scored a big goal in Minnesota last year on the road to tie the game. Obviously transferred this year, and Julian Gressel being traded and now signed with Miami. So there's been some great players, but I think White and Gold are going to have to be the keys again this year if this team wants to find themselves in the playoffs once again.
Absolutely love that. Let's talk about who was the team MVP.
Yeah, definitely Ryan Gold. I think, you know, Brian White definitely in that conversation, but Gold just does everything. I mean, as good as the goals and assists are, you see him battling for every ball. He's a guy who goes in on tackles. He doesn't fret away from those kind of things. He plays deep when the team needs him to. He'll be on the right side if the team needs him. Like, he's a multi-dimensional player, and that's what this team needs, is one of those guys that they've been lacking for a lot of years. They sent him to a contract extension in the offseason, which is basically a free player signing, because you have a guy that knows the system. He's going to be around for 3-4 years to try and help this team win. So, yeah, he's, in my mind, last year MVP far and away, and should have been in more consideration for the MLS MVP, to be honest.
Absolutely. With Brian White, he had the kind of reputation when he was a Red Bull for being the guy who liked to walk the ball into the net. You know, like, he'd be there, he can score with his head, he can score with his feet, but he's not really prolific at anything except being in the right place and tapping balls in the net. Is that still what we think about Brian White?
No, I think maybe, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago when we started with the club, you think maybe that's the striker you expect. But coming from the Eastern Conference, the Major League Soccer, to the Western Conference, it's a different animal. There's, you know, different spaces. And I think you see a lot of the goals last year. There are different dimensions, as you said, the header goals, the tap-ins. But also what he's done is he's been receiving those over-the-top balls from Ryan Gold, which is so tough to have in this league, is have a guy that can give you that ball and you can put it in the back of the net. And like I said, the goal contribution between the two players was astonishing last year. And that's what this team needed, was a run at the back line, run through the back line forward. And that's what he's developed into, as you said, not right away, but he's definitely the last, you know, year and a bit, gone through defenders, gone over the top, getting those deliveries from Pedro Vite, Ryan Gold, Andres Kubas, and that's what this team's needed.
Was there anybody on that, you know, contributors list, or maybe not on that contributors list, who surprised you, either, you know, because they overperformed or maybe because they underperformed?
Yeah, I think Pedro Vite, you know, a guy who didn't have a whole lot of playing time the year before. Last year, he still struggled with injuries, but he got called into his national team at the end of the year, spent some time there. Ecuador is a prolific team out of CONMEBOL there. So it's great for him to have that opportunity, and he's had interest from overseas. He'll continue to grow, and it's about finding his role, because him and Gold are very similar players, the attacking mindset, but it's about plugging him to that spot. He didn't start today against the Tigres. He had some injury to deal with, a tight hamstring, but hopefully, you know, when him, Gold, and White are in the same squad, it's going to be hard to stop this team. So I think Vite definitely is on that list for me.
All right, let's kind of turn the page on 2023 and get into some transactions, because you guys were active, not the most active team, but brought in some really strong players. Outgoing, Simon Becher, Chao Alexander, Sergio Cordova. Anything you'd like to say about any of those three losses?
Yeah, I think Kyle Alexandre didn't play a whole lot for the team, so it's hard to get a... He was brought in from a Brazilian league to kind of be a difference maker. He wasn't that. Simon Becher, obviously, second year MLS. He had a great year offensively, but just didn't fit the mold and wouldn't get a lot of playing time this year behind Brian White and Ryan Gold. And Sergio Cordova was one of those great designated player signings that didn't score for 20 games. He scored 4 and 5 goals in 3 games, and then he's gone. So that kind of tells you everything you need to know about Sergio last year.
Yeah. Sorry. I know a little something about that. That was in his DNA before he arrived at Vancouver too.
Yeah. With RSL, he wasn't as prolific as I thought he was going to be. And coming in, you never know with a DP coming from another team and going overseas and coming back. So he's now transferred, and I think you can close the chapter on that, just like maybe Lucas Cavallini as well. So
let's look at the incoming players. You have Demir Krylak, Fafa Pico, and then two names you're going to have to help me out with.
Bjorn Ing Utvik, I think it is, and Bilal Halbouni.
I look forward to making those to messing those up throughout the season for sure. But let's start really from the top. Demir Krylak comes in. You know, I expect him to be kind of mixing minutes in at the number 10 there. Ryan Gold, of course, moved up. That'll leave like Pedro Vite, Demir Krylak. Demir Krylak played for you guys and already scored a competitive goal. So he stepped right in. And I know, you know, Scott has a lot to say from his time in RSL.
I do. He's a really great guy. It's interesting, though, because tonight he's playing in a lineup with Gold and White. And against Tigres, in the last game against Tigres, I guess, he also started in one of those two forward roles. At RSL, I always thought Demir was a bit of like a 9.5. You know what I mean? Not really a great 10, not really a great creative player, but a really, you know, strong finisher. Is that... You know, early days, but is that kind of how we see him being used in Vancouver?
100%. And I saw him the same way at RSL. I mean, played against him. The team has anyways the last 4 or 5 years. I always saw him as a, you know, a guy who kind of dropped in midfield, played a great midfield role there, but I didn't see him as an out-and-out goal scorer. But you know what? You know, they brought him in. They've brought in these great players like Krylak, like Pico, MLS veterans, which you need in the playoffs. And that's what this team has lacked, that veteran leadership down the stretch. And he's going to be a guy that plays with Brian White and Ryan Gold, maybe beat Pedro Vite in there, and then Pico off the bench, maybe even starting some games. So I really like that, you know, they're able to bring players in and shape them differently. Like, you could look back to Ryan Raposo when he first came to the Whitecaps. He might have been a winger. Now he's kind of transitioned to a wingback. So this team's very good at kind of developing players, but also at the same time saying, hey, maybe this role isn't the best, but we can move you into this role, and they've had the same success. So I foresee that same for Demir Krylak.
That really does seem to be a strength of Sartini's coaching style. What about these other two incoming players, Utvik and Halbouni? Anything to say about them? How do you see them fitting in, contributing?
Yeah, there won't be starters. I think Halbouni's a developmental player. He played in the second division of German football. Utvik comes over. He's played Europa League. He's played European soccer. So he's very talented. And I know he's going to be slotting in for one of those three center back roles in the team. I think more depth pieces at this point. You have Brown, Veselinovic, Blackman in there to kind of hold down the fort, and Laborda as well. So you have 5-6 center backs fighting for two or three roles. So you don't see them coming in, but again, I've been surprised. I didn't think Veselinovic would be the player he was when he came in. So more of depth pieces, if you will.
Absolutely. I love that. But if you play with a 3-man back line, you need 5 center backs. So that's absolutely going to be helpful.
Essentially. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Let's say I turn on the game on a random, you know, April afternoon. What am I going to see from Vancouver as far as formation, tactics, play style, the X's and O's?
Yeah, I think this team's very good at kind of before they were the coach before Carl Robinson had a very, and Mark Dos Santos too, to be fair to his credit, had a very strict way of keeping the formation the same. And, you know, Vanni Stertini is very good at tactics and the way he plans his team. If guys are playing well, he's not afraid to put them on the bench and bring them in later as an attacking-minded team. I've liked what they've done with the 3 center backs, the 2 wing backs on the outside, and then having kind of a diamond up front to be able to play with each other there, with Gold, White, and now Krylak, to just kind of play off each other. And that's really helped this team, because Western Conference, even MLS, you know, the travel, guys can't play the same roles every week. They can't play the same style because teams are going to find out about that via video and all the technology we have. So Vanny's very good at adapting. The group's very good at adapting, and they have a great team behind the scenes that really helps his team prepare each week. So what you'll see is a high press, very good out wide. They have very good speed deliveries from the wide areas.
Love it. Now, we just got done talking with Charlotte FC, and it seemed like the opposite for them. They had all these players. They couldn't find where they went. Nothing ever worked. They wouldn't try anything new. It's like the opposite of Vancouver. You guys are going to be a competitive in every game. I don't see this being a super dominant team at any point during the season, but you guys are going to be in every game, and good things happen. A little bit of luck, and you got a good lineup here. Let's take a look at the starting 11 now. This is not from someone in the know. We just kind of went online and found a couple different depth charts, played around with it. There's actually a couple starters that are even missing, but here's what I have so far. Up top, Brian White, Ryan Gold, and then at the 10 position, Pedro Vite. Also, probably Gold, maybe a little Krylak. Is that how you see the top three?
100%. Yeah, I think that's what I was saying earlier. But you go back to that point about Vite and just trying to find his mold in this team. And, you know, if you have Krylak in there in that position, or Gold in behind Krylak and White, where does Vite fit in? Maybe he slots in between beside Kubas. But Schoff is very good at defensive play. You also have Sebastian Berhalter. So it's a good problem to have as a coach, is it creates headaches, but it's also the depth that they need there. So that'll be important. And I think just having the adaptability of different guys to slot in different roles will be strength this year. So the front three, I think, are that's how it's going to shape up for sure.
Okay, then you have the next layer down, the two, I guess I would call them holding midfielders. Do we see this as like twin eights, two sixes, a six and an eight? Talk about the two guys in the middle.
Yeah, I think Schoff can be an eight when he needs to, even a 10 sometimes. But I like Kubas as a six. He can play just in front of the back line to distribute the ball across the pitch. He's a great player at doing that. He's very good with his feet. He might not score a lot of goals or get a lot of the headlines, but if he has a good game, you won't hear a lot about him, and that's not a bad thing. He's very physical. He's seen that last year with yellow card accumulations and the way he flies in and tackles, and that's something this team needs. And I think him and Schopp and even Berhalter can kind of slide in and play a couple of sixes, two eights as well, but I think it'll be Kubas and Schopp will be pretty much, if that team's having a good game, they're playing solid, they'll be beside each other all game and making sure they cover the ground.
Now, with these wing backs, sometimes we call it a 5-man back line, sometimes a 3-man back line. What are the responsibilities of the wingers on this?
As offensively capable they have to be, defensively capable as well. Because if you have 3 center backs and a team that's newer to this formation, it's been 2 years, but I think there's still, even teams that have been playing with the same formation for years, there's still gaps. So you have to be able and adaptable to play forward and also cover the back line, because sometimes guys like Blackman, Laborda, Ranko Veselinovic in there as well cannot put the foot right. And last year we saw times where speedy teams like Montreal and Canadian Championship would get a half break opportunity, and you can't have that. So that's why Martins and Raposo are two players kind of different, but Raposo is very speedy. Martins is very good at distributing. So those guys are just as important as the 3 center backs there.
And the 3 center backs. Now, I put Utvik as a starter. That most likely that'll be Veselinovic there. So that's one change we can make right now. The back line, three-man back line, anything special?
No, I think they complement each other very well. And it's good that you mentioned Utvik, because he might even be in that spot. If Veselinovic or Laborda put a foot wrong in preseason, or they're not happy with him, I mean, Utvik might be able to come in And as well, even Sam Adekube, I forgot to mention in the wingback question you asked, would probably swap in for Martins. Martins played center back last year a little bit on the left side, so we could see that formation. And again, there's the depth is good, as you mentioned, Bob, to have guys slide in and play in different areas.
And one of the things I really like here is a lot of these guys were like on a free transfer. Fafa Pico, Krylock, Utvik, all for free. Free 99, not a dime played there. Is there any plans to expand on this roster? Are you aware of anything, player hunting?
Yeah, there's been a couple of rumored signings. Just the team trying to add. We'll see how that goes. I believe one of them named is Promise David, who's Jonathan David's brother. He's been linked overseas, but he's also linked to the team. So that's another potential signing, but it's kind of early going right now. But I think with any team, you have to kind of tinker until the summer months. Sorry, and this team's been notorious for signing players right before the season starts. You think of Freddie Montero. He signed, I think, the week before. Kenny Miller, former DP, signed the week before. So they always like to leave it late, but it doesn't mean the guys can't come in and contribute.
We talked a little bit about the center back positions and how there could be potential for change there if like Laborda or Veselinovic make a mistake. Are there any other positions on the field that you think are like a little bit up for grabs right now that players who are depth players might be able to play their way into a starting position?
I think that left center midfield role is kind of up for question. We saw Schopp last year be a player that he was in the German Bundesliga and playing overseas. But I think a guy like Sebastian Berhalter, to his credit, has played himself into a starter's role. He contributed on the offensive side last year with a couple of goals. He's been really steady. He played really well in the League's Cup last year against Grace. He's been very good at kind of sliding into those roles. But I don't know if maybe JC Ngannou can slide in there. I just think that left center midfield role for me is going to be the one that's going to be changing the most.
All right. So let's now make some predictions and talk about the future. I pricked out a couple storylines of things that I want to follow throughout the season. And the first is, can they continue a robust home field advantage? You guys were only 11th last year, 1.67 points per game at home, 1 point per game on the road. Can you turn that around?
I sure hope so. I mean, prior to maybe last season and the year before that, BC Place was a fortress and a tough place to play. And I'm not saying that's not true, but there's definitely teams that came in there last year and kind of bossed their way around the pitch. And I know that's not acceptable with the Whitecaps fans. You hear it if they're not playing well. I think they need to, if they're going to be a playoff team and not only that, get home field advantage, they have to make BC Place a fortress again. You know, the field conditions definitely give you an advantage if you're playing teams with all-star players. You don't want to come to Vancouver and play a game. But that being said, you can't take your foot off the gas because if a player's missing, a team's missing their best player, say a Leo Messi in this case, who would come here, I think, in May, you can't take your foot off the gas because they'll have a similar player, maybe not to Leo Messi standards, but the same guy that can come in and make a difference. So every game at home is important. Same with the road. Road games have to be better too.
This is more of a prediction-oriented question. Can they secure a home playoff match? Can they move up? Last year, it was, let's make the playoffs. This year, I think it should be, let's be a top four team in the Western Conference. And I think that that is right on the verge of being a possibility for this unit as it sits right now.
100%. I agree. That's a must. I mean, you got a home playoff match with LAFC, but it was the first leg didn't go your way. You want to be able to play at home and not have to play in that. Ideally, you want to have a bye. So I would even go as to say top two or three would be a safe prediction for the Caps this year.
And I guess we kind of already covered the last one I picked out. Was do they use the summer transfer window to add pieces? And I guess we're going to evaluate certainly something that they have done.
Yeah, I think that's going to be huge for them this year. Sorry, Bob. I think a lot of teams wait until the summer, and sometimes it's too late. But I think this team's done well, whereas years before they overhaul the roster. Now I think they're going to be patient and look for that in the summertime, which is exciting. A lot of MLS teams do that, so it'll be good.
I think if we learned anything from this last season, you know, from the Columbus Crew especially, is that you can be patient there and you can make summer signings and they can be impactful and they can win you trophies.
And look, Diego Rossi and Julian Gressel in the summer is not too bad either. So that's pretty good. You lose Zellerion, but you gain Rossi and Gressel. So it's pretty well done there by the Crew.
Yeah, big net positive for them. But no, I just a lesson across the league. I don't think that fans need to be so worried that they didn't get a piece of business done now in the winter window. If their team is looking to the summer window, holding on to like a DP spot or something like that, they can maybe take a little comfort from that Columbus team, that if their team is being smart, you know, it can pay off still.
Yeah, and being smart, again, means not overpaying for players when you don't need to. I mean, Fafa Picot, we haven't even barely talked about him. Free transfer, yeah. He is a proven Major League Soccer player. You know, like, I don't mean that to talk bad about his services or to talk him up either. Like, he's serviceable a lot. He makes a lot of teams better by being a depth piece, and you didn't pay for him. And I really like those. I think that is going to make the difference, because now maybe the bank's a little bigger for the summer. Maybe when you need to go out and make a splash, you're going to be so many good players on this squad. One elite level player with Ryan Gold. If you guys can add a little bit of talent, maybe like an extra winger, even if it's like a young kid that you can throw in late in the game to really start moving the ball up and down. I like this squad, man. I didn't think I was going to either, because, you know, to be honest, I'm in the New York area. When we watch, you know, a West Coast game, it's like the other LA team or
sexy,
you know,
teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vancouver's going to have to be on my radar for those 10 o'clock start times for us, because I
better
really
stay
like
up late, Bob. It's going to be yeah, worth it. I'm telling you, I'm excited. Yeah. It's awesome.
Well, and just casual listeners, you know, we talk about this team being close, but this team, like, what, 8-3-6 at home last season. If you turn two of those ties into wins, this is a team with 52 points. They are right there, you know, probably over LAFC on goal difference in, you know, into third place.
54 points. That's how we math. 54 points. It would move.
Well, yeah. You're picking up 4 points, right?
Because okay. I thought you were talking about losses. Yeah. Yeah. No. But even
draws then. So you're a top three team, just like that. It really is that close. And I know the West was inconsistent last year and teams dropped points that probably shouldn't have dropped points at different times, whatever. Everybody was playing in, you know, at a level playing field there in the West. This team really is that close, aren't they?
100%. And I don't know what it was like for the one goal games, but you mentioned the goal differential. It's always been very close. They're not a team that blows out other teams, or it's not a multi-goal win. And if it is, then it's a bad game from the other team. But they're going to have to play close games. That's kind of the identity. They're going to have to get timely scoring. And the tough, always the religiously every year, the tough schedule for this team is in the July, August, September months. And I think that's the key point. I mean, they picked the points there last year when they needed to, especially down the stretch. So they just need to keep that up. And I think that if they do, they'll be top 2-3 in the West.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, Gideon, thank you so much for coming on and joining us to preview the Vancouver Whitecaps. It's always a good time when you come on. I think this is what, your third time here?
Third or fourth. Yeah. I look forward to it every year. I know I expect the message every year when the calendar turns. So it's great to be on with you guys. It's awesome to chat, and I appreciate you guys having me on here.
Well, we'll have to do this before next February. So we're going to keep our eyes out for some news and any excuse to bring you on the show. All right.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank appreciate you so it. Much. And thank you everyone at home for watching. Make sure you click that subscribe button, find the Designated Pundits, however you listen to podcasts. Have a great night. Thank you for tuning in.